The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Monday. We've got three races at Ludlow to preview, and we'll also have a little review of Saturday's action, because of course it was Cheltenham Trials Day and we learnt a fair bit. How are you, Mr. Norton?
Yes, good, Alex. It was an interesting weekend, wasn't it? In fact, it's been an interesting week or 10 days, I think.
Well, it is sort of... We're getting towards that sort of 2 or 3 week period when horses that are going to Cheltenham have their prep runs.
Mm.
And you can either say it's a prep and they're waiting for Cheltenham,
yep.
Or you can say that was mightily impressive if they continue in that vein. You know, but that's the good thing. You always have people saying, has he peaked too soon? You know, is he a spring horse, etc.? But we've certainly learnt a fair bit. Yesterday, Many Clouds... lovely horse, isn't he, Mick?
Just
stays all day and was really quite impressive in landing the Bet Bright Cup. Yes, it was. Yeah, from Smad Place and Dinast. I do think Smad Place could have got closer. He was a bit hampered, wasn't he, turning in?
Yeah, didn't have much room, did he? And
but three good horses there.
Oh, yeah, well, we know Dynast is a good horse, can mix it at the top level. And the Giant Bolster was a good yardstick, was somewhere back in fourth. So it was a good performance by Many Clouds. I'm pleased to see the Hennessy getting a nice boost. We've had a couple of good performances come out of the Hennessy in recent days, haven't we, with Jack Adam coming out and winning the Thiestes.
Mm.
I think he's put himself into the Gold Cup mix if they've got that on the agenda. But Many Clouds now has also got some... experience of Cheltenham under his belt, he's definitely propelled himself towards the head of the market, hasn't he?
Safé de Roy won the Cleve Hurdle at 3-1 from Rev de Sivola and Ton Portu.
That was a great trial, wasn't it, for the World Hurdle?
It's basically...
Yeah.
It was just a sort of... It's the same horses that'll end up at the World Hurdle.
Yeah.
Whether they'd end up in that order again, I'd say possibly. I think Safé de Roy... I know there's comparisons to big books, and it's you know, big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
But I think he could go on a little sequence here.
He could well do.
If he stays hurdling, because he did look good. And
yep.
Again, well, without being he didn't travel all over them, if you like.
No. And
but like big books, he grinds it out.
And he's put his festival... Well, it was a bit of a disappointment in the Fred Winter, wasn't it? I think they fancied him to win that.
Mm.
He's put that behind him. We're coming back here. I mean, I think Reverend Silver's chance in the World Hurdle depends on the ground, doesn't he? If he comes up a bog, well, he's the one they've all got to beat, isn't he? But as it stands at the moment, it's wide open.
We saw Peace & Co. Beat Karazak. I'm not sure if that was an especially good race, reflected in the price, in the fact that he's gone off at 4-9. But
yeah.
I suppose, what's he going to face in the Triumph?
Yeah, it's going to be a smaller field, isn't it? It's not going to be quite the rough and tumble that we usually see. I think it was a learning curve yesterday. I think they wanted him to settle. They put the earplugs on him. They held him up. Exaggerated waiting tactics by Geraghty. But I think the main object of the exercise was to get him some valuable course experience. And it worked like a treat, didn't it? It was a treat.
It did. I'm still not entirely convinced about him, though. I wouldn't want to be... He went into 7-4, for the Triumph.
He's got ridiculously short now, and some very good horses out there.
Mm.
He's ridiculously short.
And there will be a few that we haven't even seen the best of yet.
Absolutely.
In the next few weeks, you'll see, you know, so...
Yeah, no, he's too short.
Okay. But nevertheless, some really, really good racing, some lovely horses. And of course, we're recording this before Sunday's racing.
Yes,
where we've
exactly.
got fantastic stuff at Leopardstown as well. So
yeah, and we must. Well, we touched on Jack Adam, who won the Thiestes the other day, and you know he came out the Hennessy, but he's sixth or seventh in the Hennessy, didn't he? And I think he's popped himself into the Gold Cup picture as well.
Shall we have a look at the betting for the Gold Cup?
Okay,
because it's one of those races where anti-post, you know who's going to go there. You know, with some of the novice races, you can get caught up and back off the wrong one or distances or.
And I haven't mentioned Fox Rock. I don't know what the plan is. He won that valuable handicap jersey in Leopardstown a couple of weeks ago. He's going for the Hennessy, apparently.
Okay.
And
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, and he may well sort of take another step forward. I think his handicapping days are over now.
Mm-hmm.
He defied a £9 ride for getting beaten the other day in the style of a very good horse. And be interesting to see how he gets on in the Hennessy. That's for Sunday in Feb, of course.
Mm. Slovenia Coconti 3-1. This is for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Slovenia Coconti 3-1. Road to Riches at 8. Many Clouds 9s. 14s for Holywell and Lord Windermere. 16-1 for Bobsworth, Boston Bob, and Jack Adam. 20s then for Carlingford Lock, Dinast on his own. Shut the Front Door, and 25s or bigger the rest, including Smad Place there at 25s.
Yeah.
The Giant Bolster at 33s as well.
I'm not falling over myself to back anything at the moment. When the NRNB rule comes in, that'll do me. I'll start and get stuck into it then. And if Lord Windermere and Co still sort of those sort of fancy prices, we'll be having some of that.
Well, I must confess, I have had my only anti-post bet in this race, and it's Bobsworth.
Yeah, well, again, he's overpriced, isn't he?
Because as far as I'm concerned, he's had a spin round in Ireland.
Ground was wrong for him.
Ground was wrong, and he actually travelled okay.
Yeah.
Didn't find anything, but and loves Cheltenham. And
ran another fantastic race in last year's year's Gold Cup.
And
I don't think he didn't win it.
No,
it doesn't mean knock him. Jump the last with a chance.
And
that's all you can ask, isn't it?
Got him at 20s, and I'm okay with that. You know, it was just a bit of value because I love Slovenia Coconti, but at 3-1, at Cheltenham, which I don't think is his favourite track.
Probably not.
A bit short, as far as I'm concerned.
I think he's hanging on to favouritism by default, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if all of those named horses turn out, I think we'll see. We might see Slovenia Coconti around threes, but I think you'll see everything else markedly closer.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he went out and he were like 4-1 the field or even 5-1 the field, because it's going to be another wide open contest, isn't it?
I mean, we mentioned the Giant Bolster at 33s. Doesn't run a bad race at the festival,
exactly.
Does he?
Exactly. No.
So there's plenty.
There's always someone hits the frame at a decent price, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, in those championship races. Always.
Mm. So very, very interesting anyway. We're going to look at three at Ludlow then, Mick.
Mm.
The first one, well, they won't be running in Gold Cups, you wouldn't have thought.
There's a couple here, though, and the first might be good enough to go for one of the festival races.
Interesting.
We've
got it's a juvenile hurdle over 2 miles, 10 runners going to post. I can only assume that the two that you're talking about, Mick, are the two previous winners in the field carrying penalties.
Yeah, both bring similar levels of ability into their hurdling careers. Both won first time up. Arabian Revolution hard held at Sandown. Not an easy thing to do in the ground conditions that prevailed on the day. It was a mid-80s horse on the flat. AP was up that day. He's got to, well, I don't know whether he's got to ride Sebastian Beach. I'm not quite sure what the riding arrangement with John Joao. It's not a JP horse. He's riding Sebastian Beach in that race.
It's interesting. Because Sebastian Beach, arguably, well, maybe not better, but of a similar level on the flat.
Very much. Both, all those three, Arabian Revolution, Cape Castor and Sebastian Beach, mid-80 horses on the flat.
Mm.
And it's a tough one because I haven't quite worked out the riding arrangements. Yeah, I'd have thought AP would have been desperate to get back on Arabian Revolution. But having said that, Sebastian Beach is getting £7 off the pair. He ran okay at Exeter, and what you've got to remember is the stable were bang out of form when he made his hurdling debut 3 weeks ago. And, you know, although it was a solid, if unspectacular debut, fair technique, made a couple of novice mistakes.
Mm.
Maybe McCoy thinks that now the stable are in a bit better form, he can take advantage. I mean, he was, as I said, a similar level of ability on the level.
Mm.
So could be interesting, that, couldn't it? But having said all that, Cape Castor was very impressive at Force Last, wasn't he? He was backed as if defeat was out of the question, confidently ridden. The result was never in doubt, even though something led him by 4 lengths going at the last. Paul Maloney never
No.
Never flustered, and it was a very taking debut performance. It's a very interesting race, Alex.
Well, as well, it's likely that both of the winners, Arabian Revolution and Cape Castor, are both hold-up performers. It could just be interesting tactically if AP says, right then, catch me on Sebastian Beach.
I'm sure the fact that he's on Sebastian Beach, I mean, he doesn't have to ride that. He doesn't have to ride John Joe's.
No, to clarify, he is connected to JP McManus, not John Joe O'Neill. As such, he will ride John Joe horses, of course, from time to time, who aren't with JP. But similarly, he rides a lot for John Ferguson, but he's not contracted to him.
If he had the choice of those, you know, it's interesting that he's chosen Sebastian Beach.
Mm.
And he might be the value of the race, because he should be all over the other two, the way they won on debut.
It's very interesting. I was talking to him a couple of hours ago. I mean, he should have told me. I could have asked him.
He'd be busy now, won't he?
He might be a bit busy. Yeah, we've got him this at 1:45. He'll be getting ready to ride Jeski pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, what do you think is going to win then, if pushed?
Well, taken into account...
Are we ruling everything else out here, by the way?
Yeah, there's only three runners.
Okay.
Taking everything into account, he was keen on debut Sebastian Beach. In fact, he tanked off a bit. He led from the second until the fourth. Then he just paid the price close home. I think McCoy must think there's more to come from him, and the stable are in a bit better form now, aren't they?
Mm.
I think he'd be the value, because I do think they'd be all over the other two.
I also think, yeah, there's every chance you're going to get something of an each-way price about
exactly.
him as well.
Exactly.
So, the safe bet, I think, Sebastian Beach.
I think so.
In the 1:45. Ludlow's 2:50 up next. It's a novice's limited handicap chase over 3 miles. Plenty of nice types in here. The likes of Whiskey Yankee. He's been winning a fair bit this season. Tony Starr, yet to show much of late, but he's a nice horse. The Musical Guy's been in good form. Call Me Vic ran well last time. Art Professor looks like his time could be coming up pretty soon. There's plenty of these that you could really give solid chances to.
Yeah, it's an interesting race, isn't it? And you've also got Theatre Queen, who was rattled up a hat-trick of wins in the Hunter Chase Field, came back from a 6 months absence in a very bad mood, refused to race at Taunton on a reappearance, hence the hood for the first time. So she's in a slightly better mood with herself. She could play a part in it as
definitely.
Well. It's quite an interesting race. Again, we go back to AP,
but
I didn't have this conversation 20 minutes ago, Alex. looks like Rain Ted. AP's had two rides on him, both of them inglorious. Pull up and last of seven.
Right.
But here he is on him in this. Now, if you go back to his Worcester win in October, Tom Skew rode him that day. He had a couple of these miles behind who were going to be shorter than him in the betting. Call Me Vic, for example, was 40-odd lengths behind him. He looked a good horse that day. Wheels fell off a little bit after Worcester. But AP has kept the faith. It is his third ride on him. Inglorious attempts the first two. And he looks like being a bit of value. You mentioned Whiskey Yankee. I didn't think he looked comfortable here last time. He was jumping to the left. He just looked as he wasn't unhappy at the track. The Musical Guy seems to be in the grip of the handicapper. Career best is required if he's going to win this off 1-2-6. We touched on Theatre Queen's moody performance at Taunton on a reappearance. Call Me Vic plugged on for second at Wincanton under this rider, Reece Flint, for Tom George. But as I say, he was miles behind, looks like Rain Ted at Worcester. I think he might be worth chancing, you know, looks like Rain Ted.
Okay. We've spoken about McCoy now for both these races.
Yeah.
Do you think... Because there will be people out there that will knock him and will say, well, hang on, when I back his horses, they're always a really short price. And, you know... Now, with this, it's not so much the fact that McCoy's on board that it's interesting.
Exactly.
It's more that connections have gone out of their way to get someone... Not that McCoy doesn't ride for Rebecca Curtis often.
No, but...
But the fact that they think they've got a good enough chance to put a jockey on that they know can get the best out of their
horse.
There's
two key things here, Alex. He was on board Arabian Revolution when he won without breaking sweat at Sandown. And yet he's on Sebastian Beach. Now, don't tell me if he wanted to ride Arabian Revolution, he'd be on it.
Mm.
wouldn't he? It's not as if he's got to ride Sebastian Beach. He's chosen to ride it, I'm sure. Looks like Rainted, he's had two rides on him. Pulled up and last of seven. Now, he could have said to Dave Roberts, I don't want to ride that again. Couldn't he?
But in fairness, he wouldn't have a ride in the race then.
Fair enough. But
I'm guessing that there's no one who regularly gives him rides left in there apart from Henderson, but that's generally when he's
But again, it's not a GP horse.
No.
He could have sat it out, couldn't he?
Yeah.
It is the most valuable race of the day, so he probably wants to be involved in it. I may be reading too much into
Possibly, but it is interesting.
But at the same time, he does know how to win this horse, just because his recent form figures haven't been impressive. You go back, have a look at that Worcester win, he's bred eagle on that day.
Goes in the slop as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a big thing here. And he's still only eight as well. So I think it's because AP's on them, that I'm not going for them because he's on them as such. It's because the reasons he's on them are quite perverse, aren't they?
Yes. That's what I was trying to say. We're not picking them because McCoy's on them.
No.
But it helps.
especially with, looks like Rainted, two inglorious rides on him, pulled up and last of seven, you'd think, well, he doesn't go for me. Rebecca gave one of the boys a ride on him or something like that.
He is now in a position where he can almost pick and choose, can't
he?
If he wanted to. So.
But he's stuck with it, and I think he's going to be a bit of value as well.
Okay, so it looks like Rainted the pick.
Yeah.
In the 250. The final race we're going to look at is the 350. It is a handicap chase. 2 miles of the trip, nine runners going to post, and crucially, AP McCoy does not have a ride in this one.
Yes, we can safely leave him out of the equation here. Top Thorn, I would imagine, is going to be amongst the market leaders. That was a good performance in Huntingdon last time under his regular riders at Baker. £7 higher, but he is a dual winner here at Ludlow. Obviously likes going right-handed, and he's got to be a major player, and probably will deserve his place at the top of the market. Just might end up a bit short for me. Midnight Chorister, he went up £10 for that Fakenham win, which was, I know he won by a wide margin, but the race just fell apart, didn't it? And I think he's going to have work to do.
You won't want to be following Fakenham form around the country either, would you?
Not really, and it's the other way around as well, isn't it? Which leads me nicely down to the bottom one, Take the Crown, who gets weight from the field. He rallied really well last time after looking held at Market Raisin. And, I think the fact that he does get weight from the field is going to help him here. And I think he can add to his Bangor win. Bearing in mind, Alex, this is only going to be his fourth start over fences. So, and he does appear to be making a fair fist of it now. So I'll take a chance on Take the Crown. He made a stopping mistake early on. He got himself back into the lead at Market Raisin, got headed and outpaced turning in, but then he rallied on the run-in and got back to within six lengths of them. And I like the way he stuck at it, even though his chance appeared to have gone. So, getting weight off the field, and I'll take a chance and Take the Crown. Hope it's a decent price.
Okay. Can you just spin us through your three picks at Ludlow on Monday, then, please, Mick?
Yeah, we're going to take a chance on Sebastian Beach with the AP conundrum, who was on board Arabian Revolution when he never broke sweat to win at Sandown. Here he is on Sebastian Beach when he doesn't really have to be if he doesn't want to. Ditto on Looks Like Rainted in the 250. He's had two rides on him, both ignominious, but here he is back on him in the most valuable race of the day in Ludlow. And when I look back at this horse winning at Worcester under Tom Skew, and he looked as though there were more races to be won with him there. So hopefully Rebecca can have put right whatever has ailed him the last three times. And in the final race that we're looking at, the 350, the 2 mile handicap chase, Take the Crown, I think he ran really well when looked beaten at Market Raisin last time. This is only his fourth start over fences. I think there's more to come from his mark while it's still in the nervous 90s.
Okay, great stuff, Mick. Enjoy all of the racing on Monday and best of luck.
Okay, thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.